We have a very, very, very special guest today on Pack Your Knives.
We have Buddha Low, who's a returnee to Pack Your Knives. I can't be more excited to welcome him to the show. Buddha, welcome.
Hi, it's so good to see you guys again. It's been a while. I mean, this is now my third time, I believe, and third season. So it's always good to be on the show. I listen to it every single week whenever the show's going on. So it's nice to be back.
And you come back as a two-time returning champion. Like, which I bet with each passing month is more, and given the prestige of the show, is just more of an amazement. I mean, you won back-to-back titles. You're the closest thing to a dynasty.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably going to be very hard to come by again, considering that it was 20 seasons in the making to do a World All-Stars, and let alone just to do back-to-back. It's a very hard feat, and I keep thinking about it, and I go, wow, that was really hard to do. I feel like a lot of people think that coming back from the show so early was an advantage. I thought it was quite a disadvantage, seeing that I had to cook about 50-plus dishes to Padma in the space of less than a year. You know, not a lot of people know, but to cook the meal of a lifetime twice in 11 months, it's quite hard to do. And on top of that, your repertoire does start to deplete, especially when you do two back-to-back seasons and you're doing more than one dish per an episode or a show.
Kevin, that's like LeBron winning the 2020 bubble championship and then having to come back after a shortened off season and then winning again right after that.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, LeBron, it's the first time he's been in an NBA finals. So, Buddha, there was no load management, a term from the NBA world where you rest strategically. There was no strategic rest for you. You just went right back into it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you take contestants like Amar for you know, he's had 5+ years to get more dishes, come up with new things. Like, I've already came up with so many new things that I could use for the show if I was to be back on it. But, like, that gap was never there of, like, I literally came in with a Houston mindset of, you know, skill level and repertoire, because I had no time to really train for the next season.
And on top of that, you just became a father to twins, and you still have your restaurant that you're an executive chef at. So give me the update on Buddha Low right now, coming back from Wisconsin and doing the episode. We'll get to all that, but what's going on in your life?
Okay. So yeah, I came back. This was, you know, just when I came back from Paris. So World All Stars hasn't aired yet. My wife and I were trying before Houston, and I think it was kind of like fate to like get through these two top chefs. And then, you know, we've been trying for babies for a while, and then boom, two of them came out at once, and we're very lucky. It was an amazing feeling. I mean, when they came out, it was just, I mean, I feel like everyone's got this story about how incredible it is. It really is incredible. It's been incredible just to see them grow. They already grow so fast. So I've been enjoying every single moment of it. And I got a lot of, you know, obviously Top Chef helped out a lot with with financially supporting a baby, so let alone one, but two. So definitely know where the prize money's going to, but it's been all worth it. And I've loved every moment of it. And then I put also a little bit of that money into expanding Huso. Huso essentially is the 12-seater restaurant. It's not a lot of people know, but I literally cook off an induction in an oven. There's no vent inside the space, and we do all these incredible dishes.
I mean, you're basically cooking out of you're doing gourmet food out of a food truck for all practical purposes.
Yeah, a food truck is actually more equipped.
Okay.
They have a vent, so they can actually grill things. We don't, but we do this, and it's been amazing. It's been booked out for like, I don't know, ever since I've been on Top Chef, every night's been booked, huge waiting list. So we want to make it bigger, give it a proper kitchen, and give it the proper area that food deserves. And then from then on, I have like an eye of making maybe I'm thinking of doing a Malaysian restaurant next. So
we have good Bornean in Los Angeles. We have some good Indonesian. It's not Amsterdam, but we could really use some Malaysian food.
Yeah. Exactly.
But you're in New York. By the way, what do Tatiana and Alina eat at 6 months? What does Buddha Low, Top Chef, 2 times champion, actually feed his daughters?
Uh-oh.
Gerbers?
No.
No. So right now we're doing our 6 month checkup, and then we're going to get the green light to give them some solids. We were actually talking about it today. And, you know, Rebecca's talking about sweet potatoes, bananas, and all this stuff. And I'm like, can I give them pom puree with caviar, please? It's the first thing that they need to try. But it was a hard no. So maybe for later on.
Yeah, just be prepared as a father to two girls, and I'm a twin myself. They have very differing tastes. Like in the beginning, they love sweet potato, they love avocado, they love banana. And then like 3 months later, they hate it.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? What happened? It was so easy. I could just throw you this pureed sweet potato and be done with it. And they just, their tastes change. So they get very finicky with their taste.
You're saying it's like a Top Chef challenge every day.
Yes. Yeah. And then you got to change their diaper afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, the vibes. So Buddha, congratulations on that. And I want to say before we begin, you were sipping down some Saratoga Springs water. And I was just, as someone who's written a story about bottled water and the fetish that NBA players have on bottled water, I'm assuming, Buddha, you have some thoughts about bottled water before we begin with the Top Chef stuff.
Of course, of all, I've been a Saratoga Spring Water ambassador for a couple of months now, ever since the recent win. It's no secret that they've become the new sponsor for the winnings of Top Chef. And yeah, they've been a really great brand to be working with. I think that water is quite essential to the sort of dining industry where I work in, so especially bottled water. So I've been getting my free shipment of orders as one of the ambassadors. So I've been really enjoying it.
Is there a Buddha directory to water? Something that you grew up not really appreciating as a chef? Did you appreciate water? Because NBA players are so superstitious about which water they have that if you hand them, say, an Evian versus a Fiji water, some players will just spit out the Evian water. And then Fiji is apparently, Essentia and Fiji are the favorites among NBA players, but maybe they need to get more Saratoga Spring.
Oh, they definitely need to try some more Saratoga. I think that it's, ever since I've had it, it made so much sense, but not only that, but it was something that I just was drawn to ever since I just first drank it. It was so clear. It was almost kind of creamy in a way that it just, the way it comes on the palate. So I thought it was a really beautiful water. And whenever I can try and, you know, use something that's local, I always try and do it. I don't say New York is by no means, and I think everyone in New York can agree, we're not the best at everything. But in terms of produce, you know, California produce is just like on a way different level when it comes to like the variety and the quality and the and just like the extensiveness of like how much you've got there. Whereas, hey, we got some really good water, so we're gonna make sure that we're gonna use it and drink it, and I can't get enough of it.
You got to be co-host last week on the show,
yeah,
which is a really big deal because kind of you're coming back as on the other side of the table, which is a first. I mean, you in a span of 3 years, you had never been on the show twice as a contestant. Now you're sitting up there as judge, jury, and executioner. And I just kind of open-ended, tell us about the experience, soup to nuts, of your whole episode 4, you are now a judge and a luminary of Top Chef.
Well, it's kind of weird because I actually finished season 19 and it finally aired and I got a phone call from casting and I'm like, what are you doing calling me for casting? Like, this is, casting doesn't usually deal with this. You're dealing with contestants. If you want me to be a judge, you just send me a message. And of course I want to be a judge in season 20. And I was like, no, we want you to compete. I was like, okay, well, let's do this then. And I was like, I don't mind that. So finally being on the show as a judge, it was obviously a lot different. I've watched the show so many times and I always constantly hear, oh, it's so good to be on this side. I'd much rather be on this side than on the competing side. Well, for me, it's like the other way around. I actually really wanted to be in the kitchen opposed to being on the judging table. Don't get me wrong, being on the judge's table was absolutely amazing. But if I was to choose either competing or judging, I'd compete. But in saying that, I've got to sit next to Dominique Cran. I already listened to your podcast. She's like another person that I really idolize as well. She's so I was kind of freaking out sitting at the table with her, but I'm absolutely honored to be one of the five people that was judging, and one of them being Dominique Cran and the judges as well. So that was really cool to do, but complete different scenario, complete different scene. And also, when you get the food, you don't really get to know what happens behind the scenes. Because it's so funny how the chefs were very cool, calm, collected, and confident when presenting the dishes. But when you taste it, you can taste chaos, but you can't like put those things together. And so when you watch the show and how the things were going, especially with Kalina and Alicia, you're like, that makes a lot of sense into why those dishes came out like that.
So what does go on behind the scenes? I mean, what did you get a glimpse of that you never even realized was a thing?
So I guess behind the scenes on their part, I guess I just wonder what they're doing with their time. That's what I was just trying to piece together, because I think because this was filmed quite some time ago, I've been kind of like thinking over my head and being puzzled to, especially Alicia's dish. There wasn't a lot going on. It almost felt like this was like a quick fire dish. And for 3 hours and for five people, I kind of just wanted to be on a fly on the wall and just kind of like look at what you were doing for like 3 hours. Because if you actually watch Last Chance Kitchen, I'm not sure if you guys watched it yet, she actually does the same thing and whips it out in 30 minutes. And so I'm just trying to figure out what's been going on for 2.5 hours after. You know, it's not like you were catering for 100 people. It wasn't Restaurant Wars where there's all these like other bells and whistles to attend to. It's like, cook us 5 good plates of food. And it was a cold dish. And actually, surprisingly enough, one of my cold elements was missing on my plate. So, yeah, those are the sort of details that I have.
That didn't really make it to the show.
It didn't make it to the show.
Yeah. And that was the only one that was missing something of the dishes?
It was, yes, it was. But more importantly, it's just, this is a cold dish. And I think that when you look at it in like most competition cooking, like to do a cold dish, it has to be spectacular in my eyes. Like you have so much time to plate, so much time to really be creative. You're not trying to like serve a hot piece of meat or cook the fish perfectly. So it's really got to wow you at that sort of stage. And it's just the attention to details that I was looking at with Alicia's dish, where the cucumbers weren't even cut correctly. The aguachile actually had no chili in it. There was no flavor. So I guess when you're looking at this from a judge's perspective, you are really looking at the dish before the challenge almost, because we can't actually judge you on the challenge if like most of the basics are stuffed up. And it was something that we keep talking about is like, nail the protein. Because if you're saying that I have steak and chips and steak is like overly cooked, then we can't even get through the judgment of the challenge or the judgment of this. Your main component's completely unjudgeable, you know? And I think we saw that with Sarah's dish in the finale as well. It's like, we can't even rate your dish because your main component, the star of the dish, we can't even eat.
Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying this episode of Pack Your Knives and would like to listen to the rest of it, please become a paid subscriber.
Just go to packyourknives.com and sign up for an annual subscription. That's packyourknives.com.